Well, good morning, LifePoint Online. My name is Corey, and I serve as the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus. And we're in a series called Labels, where we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke on Sunday mornings, but we've also been reading through Luke together devotionally as a church. And today is a big day. It's a special morning, because if you've been following along with the daily devotional readings in Luke, that means this weekend you have finished making your way through Luke. And we want to say, great job. Congratulations. You did it. And keep going. We want to let you know, don't stop now, that if you have created a habit of engaging God through His Word and applying it to your lives, we want to let you know that you need to keep going and to not stop now. Maybe what you're going to do next is you're going to jump into the second part of Luke by looking at the book of Acts, or maybe you decide to do a different book of the Bible. Whatever it is, just keep going and keep moving forward. Keep meeting and engaging with the Lord each day. Keep applying what He's teaching you to your life. But I also want to say, if you haven't finished Luke yet, if you're still making your way through, the encouragement is still the same. Keep going. To just go ahead and dive back in tomorrow morning to finish strong and to finish well. But today, we are going to continue looking at how Luke just kind of shares how Jesus reaches out to those who are on the fringes, who are isolated, who seem too far from grace. And our big idea for this series has been that the gospel calls us to a life above labels, that the gospel calls us to a life above labels. And this morning we're going to look at Luke chapter 5, and Luke chapter 5 is just chock full of great stuff. Whether it's Jesus calling Matthew to follow Him, and Matthew's so excited he throws this party, and sinners and tax collectors come, those who were labeled as outsiders and too far from grace, but Jesus comes also and He engages and He connects with them. Or we see in Luke chapter 5 that some buddies take their friend and they lower him down through a roof so that Jesus would heal him. Or we see Jesus healing a leper in Luke chapter 5 here, where He does the unthinkable. He heals him by actually touching him, just giving us a great picture of how Jesus reaches into our lives and touches us when we are full of sin to heal us. We see in Luke 5, there's so much good stuff there, that the text is rich and there's much for us to connect with. But today, we're going to focus just on the first 11 verses in our time together. And in doing so, it reminded me of our family vacation from last year. Last year, my wife and my two boys and I, we went up to that state up north. And we did so we can kind of just relax and rest and go do some outdoor activities together. And one of the outdoor activities we did was this canoe trip. And it took us through wildlife and it took us through nature. And just as the trip finished, we had to dock before it spilled us out onto their great lake. Well, in the first canoe was my wife and our youngest son. In my canoe, I had my oldest son with me, and we kind of coached the kids up before we pushed off, saying like, hey, we're going to have to work together, we're going to have to paddle together, and I told my son, hey, since I'm in the back of the canoe, I'm kind of like the rudder, so let me kind of steer things, and let me kind of lead the way. But it didn't take but 10 seconds from us pushing off that he was paddling like a wild man, and he was just going all over the place. We ran into the bank. We turned the canoe sideways. We did a full 360 at one point. And I remember him just saying, this is terrible. I'm done. He was so frustrated. He was so worn out, and he wanted to give up. Well, in Luke chapter 5, Simon and Jesus get into a boat together, and things get pretty interesting. So let's take a look at that, beginning in verse 1. It says this: on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. Verse 3 says, getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down, and he taught the people from the boat. Luke takes us to the lakeshore. And in doing so, there's a massive crowd around Jesus, and they're pressing in on him. I tend to think of this and picture this scene like Jesus is a celebrity trying to make his way through a massive crowd. Or if you've ever attended an event or gone to an amusement park where there's so many people around you and they're just pressing in on you and you got to kind of weave your way through them. This is what Jesus was experiencing here. But it says that they were pressing in on him because they wanted to hear the word of God. How awesome is that? I love that. May the same thing be said about you and I. May the same thing be said that we want to press in to hear the word of God. That's what we've kind of been going through in the series, that we just don't want to press into the word of God on Sundays, but we want to press into it in our daily lives as we open up God's word to teach us. Well, here, the crowd is all around Jesus, and Jesus notices a couple of empty boats by the shore, which belong to Simon. Now, Jesus and Simon had met once before. They met because Jesus healed Simon's mother-in-law. Simon was a fisherman by trade, and here in the text we see that Simon and his fellow fishermen, they were out all night fishing, and they had caught nothing, and so they were done and washing their nets and getting ready to go home. But Jesus gets into the boat, and he asks Simon, "Hey, can I borrow this boat? Could you push this boat out a little ways from the land for me?" Simon agrees, and Jesus begins to teach from the boat. And in verse 4, it says, "When he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, 'Put out into the deep and let down your nets for the catch.' And Simon answered, 'Master, we have toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets.' And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled the boats, both of them, so that they both began to sink." Okay, picture this in your mind for a moment, right? Simon has finished a long night's work. He was washing up the nets, and Jesus asked Simon to use his boat. Simon agrees. Jesus says, "Hey, Simon, will you just push out a little ways from the land?" Simon says, "Okay." Jesus teaches from that position, but then Jesus kind of asks Simon something else. Simon might have been thinking like, "Gosh, he's done. Maybe I can finally go home." But Jesus says, "Would you please take this boat out into the deep?" And then he asks Simon, "Would all those nets that you just washed, hey, why don't you throw them out again, cast them out again?" I wonder if at any point Simon was thinking, "What is this Jesus guy doing, right? Like, he's taking command of my boat, and he's taking command of my crew. Doesn't he know that I am the captain? Isn't this the carpenter guy? I'm the fisherman, for goodness sake," right? And Simon knew, like, hey, you catch fish at night in the shallow water. You do not catch fish during the day out in the deep water. So Simon pushes back a little bit, and he says, "Master, we have worked all night, and we've caught nothing." And now he could have followed that up with, "Hey, I know a lot more about fishing than you do. That we've fished this area all night and there's nothing here. Or the crowds have scared all the fish away. Or I've worked all night and I'm tired and we've already washed our nets. It's time to go home." However, Simon says, "But at your word, I will let down the nets." And what happens next is astounding. Simon throws out the nets, and his experienced fisherman hands feel the tug on the nets that he has felt before, except this time there's something different about this tug. This tug is a massive tug, and it results in the biggest catch of his life. So big that the nets were breaking, so big that Simon had to call out to the other boat to come help, so big that when they hauled in this catch, that the boats began to sink. It's interesting here that the progression of things take place by Jesus telling Simon to push out a little from the land, then to head out into the deep, and then to cast out his nets. This is often the way the Lord works in our lives. He often asks us to be responsive and obedient, one step at a time. He often asks us to respond in faith, much like Simon had to do in throwing out those nets. that if Simon would not have trusted Jesus in the first seemingly insignificant command to push out a little from the shore, he would have never participated in this miracle. Because you see, Simon had worked long and hard through the night and he had no results. He was striving to do everything on his own and he came up empty and he came up exhausted and frustrated and unprofitable. Yet when Simon submitted, when he surrendered, when he trusted, when he obeyed Jesus, even when the circumstances didn't make sense, everything changed. We see a great lesson and we see a great principle here that when Jesus directs our life and work, that makes all the difference. That when Jesus directs our life and work, it makes all the difference. And so I want to ask today for you and for me, where are you? Where are we trying to do everything on our own? Where are you worn out and tired from trying to just go your own way? What are you trying to accomplish all by yourself? Right? It could be your parenting today. It could be coping with the loss of a loved one. It could be leading your family. It could be marriage. It could be your job. It could be your finances. You could be trying to lead all your own in your relationships or your leadership or with something that's going on internally. What would happen today if you and I invited Jesus in? What would it look like if we took an initial step of obedience and faith in trusting Jesus in our lives? What would happen if we responded like Simon by saying, "But at your will, I," and just fill in the blank right there? Because here's the deal, we will always miss something great when we make excuses and exclude Jesus from directing our life and work. But when we take that first step in trusting Jesus, we declare faith in Him. We let go and we let Him lead our lives. And in doing so, like He did with Simon, He will grow and prepare and shape us and shape our faith. That there is blessing in obedience and we are to walk by faith and not by sight. I know I needed reminded of this daily. That I need constantly reminded that I'm not to trust in my own understanding or lean on my own understanding, but I'm to trust in the Lord and allow Him to direct my path. That when Jesus directs our life and work, we begin to see results. So Simon did so, and in verse 8 we read, "But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.' For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon." So Simon sees all that just took place with this catch of fish, and he's overwhelmed. And he realizes, hey, someone who is greater than I, someone who is mightier is in my boat. And his only response was to fall to his knees. Now, Simon had already seen Jesus heal his mother-in-law, but something in this moment was different. Here, Simon finds the end of himself. Here, Simon truly worships and he truly surrenders. And he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." It's interesting. Jesus didn't say anything about Simon's sinfulness. Simon's reaction here is reminiscent of those in the Old Testament when Isaiah was brought into the presence of God. Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King and the Lord of hosts." Adam's first thought after the fall was to hide from the Lord. The nation of Israel at Mount Sinai said to Moses, "Let not God speak to us, lest we die." We see with others and we see with Simon here that a right view of the Lord leads to a right view of ourselves. That a right view of the Lord leads to a right view of ourselves. That when we see God and we see Jesus for all of who He is, creator and perfect and sinless and holy, when we see Jesus as eternal and everywhere and all-knowing and all-powerful, who we are in comparison to Him, brings us to our knees. That when we catch a glimpse of the Lord's divine greatness, we get a right view of our littleness and our sinfulness. This is what Simon comes to face with in this boat. Simon saw the great power of Jesus, and in doing so, he saw his own spiritual bankruptcy. Simon knew that Jesus was Lord, and Simon knew that he himself was only man, and not just man, but sinful man. And so Simon says, "Depart from me." But notice Jesus' response. Jesus says in verse 10, he says, "Simon, do not be afraid." The Greek words here used means to literally stop being fearful. Simon was afraid, and Jesus says, "Hey, put away that fear." That having a right view of the Lord and a right view of ourselves is healthy, but what's unhealthy is hiding from the Lord, is running from the Lord, is asking the Lord to depart from us. It's important to know and to see our sinfulness and the wickedness of our hearts and how the Lord is perfect and holy. But what's even more important is for you and I to know and to see, like it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, God our Savior desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. What truth? The truth that there is one God and that there is one mediator between God and man, and that is Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. What Jesus wanted Simon to see, what he wants you and I to see, is that we have the very mediator that our soul requires in Jesus. That because of Jesus, we may come confidently and boldly to God. That Jesus casts away our fear. That because of Jesus, we need not fear, but we can draw near. That because of Jesus, we need not fear. That you and I can draw near to him. That because of Jesus, like it says in James, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. That because of Jesus, the same invitation that he gave to Simon, he gives and offers to you and I. That we need not run from him, but to him. That we need not hide from him, but step out into the light with him. That we need not depart from him, but we can draw near to him, thanks to Jesus. And in verse 10, after Jesus says, "Simon, do not be afraid," he says, "From now on, you will be catching men." I don't know, I can kind of just picture in my mind Jesus looking down at Simon and maybe even lifting him up off the floor of the boat. And in a way that only Jesus can, with all grace and with all tenderness and love, says, "Simon, my boy, do not be afraid, because from now on, there's a new life for you. And in this new life, you will be catching men." In this moment, we see an unbelievable act of grace by Jesus. Jesus calls Simon to a new life. You see, Simon was used to catching fish, reeling them in, catching something that was alive and hauling it into his boat and then watching it die. But now, thanks to Jesus here, thanks to Jesus, Simon would now go catch people, those who were dead in their sins and their transgressions, and in doing so, catch them and watch them come to life. What a drastic difference. You see, Simon had worked his whole life as a fisherman. He was to get up and stay up and to prepare his supplies and push out the boat and then throw out his nets and haul in the catch and then row back to shore and then just prepare the catch to take into town and to clean the nets. This was day in, this was day out for Simon. But now Jesus invites Simon to do the same work Jesus does, to do eternal work. Jesus invites him in for purpose in the here and now, and he invites him into purpose that goes beyond the here and now. In Simon, we see that when we hand our lives over to Jesus, we find greater purpose. That when you and I hand our lives over to Jesus, we find greater purpose. Jesus says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." Simon's life was forever changed, and he was called to a greater purpose. He was called to something bigger than himself in this moment. He was called to go help change the world. He was called to go impact not just the here and now, but eternity. And it's so amazing to see that Jesus allows Simon to leverage his skills, knowing all that he had learned as catching fish, and now would use it to catch people, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And you see, Jesus invites you and I to do the same. He invites us to a greater purpose. The question and the challenge for you and I is, have we handed our lives over to Jesus? Have we handed over everything to Jesus? Because when we hand over all, not just portions and pockets, when we hand over all, we find greater purpose in all that we do, and we can leverage who we are for His kingdom. See, when we hand over everything, all of a sudden there's greater purpose in things, because work is no longer work, and school is no longer school, and sports are no longer just being sports. And being a neighbor is no longer being a neighbor, and owning a business is no longer just about owning a business, and having money is just not about having money anymore, and being a parent is not just being a parent anymore. It is so much more. There's greater purpose now when we invite Jesus in. There's opportunities to fish. There's opportunities to reach people. There's opportunities to make an impact and to share Jesus with others, to lay up heavenly treasures that will last and make a difference for all eternity. Simon experiences this here, and he experiences it personally because he pushed out a little from the land. He heard Jesus teach, went a little bit deeper into the waters, threw out his nets, hauled in the catch of a lifetime. Yet in the end, Simon realized he was the one who was truly caught, caught in the arms of a loving, gracious Savior, Jesus Christ. And what happens next only seems logical. Verse 11 says, "And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and followed him." They followed Jesus. So much for that miraculous catch. So much for the nets breaking. So much for the boats being ready to sink. Luke tells us that they left everything and followed Jesus. And this word "follow" here is a technical term that Luke gives us that means discipleship. We see that discipleship is followship. That discipleship is followship. That discipleship is not some class, and it's not a book. It's not a retreat. It's not something we graduate from, and it's not something we just achieve and move on from. Discipleship is a lifelong pursuit of Jesus. It's following Jesus for the rest of our lives. That when Jesus gets into the life boat that we have, right, we follow where He leads. We follow knowing that His ways are higher than ours. We follow knowing that He gives life, and He gives life abundantly. We follow knowing that He becomes the captain of our lives, that He loves and He cares and He provides and He gives purpose and He calls us to that which is greater. We follow knowing that in Jesus that this world grows strangely dim. We follow knowing that in Jesus the temporary pales in comparison to the eternal. So the question for you and I is, who is directing your life? Who's steering the ship? Who's the captain of your life? If I'm honest, many times I'm like my son. I'm trying to do it all on my own at the front of the boat, paddling like crazy, doing everything on my own effort. And I may move things a little bit, but in the end, I'm really not getting anywhere. I bump into things. I turn everything sideways. I even turn things around at times, and I get worn out, and I get frustrated. You see, on that trip, my son eventually figured out that if he let his father lead and guide, well, things got a lot better, that he still got to row, that he still put some effort in, but all of a sudden we went in the right direction and we went way further together than he did on his own. And in the end, we had an amazing adventure with one another. Well, the same goes for us and Jesus, right? So I want to ask you today, what is Jesus asking you to do? Is it to push out a little bit? Is it to go into the deep? Is it to throw out your net? Whatever it is, when Jesus directs our life and work, it makes all the difference. I want to ask today, how do you view Jesus? Is he just a rabbit's foot, a vending machine? Do you just look at him as someone who's waiting for you to mess up? How do you view yourself? Is it higher than you ought? Because here's the deal, a right view of the Lord allows us to have a right view of ourselves. Are you running from Jesus today? Do you think your past is too dirty? Do you think you've messed up too bad? And so you're afraid of Jesus, and there's no way that he would want anything to do with you. I want to remind you today that God loves you, and that God doesn't just want you to know about him, but he wants you to know him personally, and he sent Jesus to make that possible. That in Jesus, we need not fear, but you and I can draw near now. What's your purpose in life? Is it just to make a lot of money? Is it just to be popular? Is it just to be powerful or to be the most liked or the most followed? Is life just about the here and now? Whether you're failing or doing great in the here and now, we need reminded that it will all fade and it will all rust. But when we hand our life over to Jesus, we find greater purpose. Who or what are you following? Where are you headed? Do you say you follow Jesus, yet your life doesn't reflect that? Jesus wants to get into the boat with you. And Jesus says, hey, follow me. Because discipleship is followship. You see, the world labels and tells us, go do it on your own. Do it all by yourself. Sow your wild oats. Go your own way. That's the American dream, right? We're told to work harder, to work longer, to strive more and more. We're told that happiness is in the here, and now we're told eat, drink, be merry, do whatever you want, because tomorrow you're just going to die and nothing really matters. But Jesus comes and says, I have so much more for you than that. Jesus comes and says, hey, I'm the owner, I'm the operator, I'm the author, I'm the creator of all. And he looks at you and I and says, want some help? Do you want some direction? He says, if you do, hey, come close. Draw near to me, because I desire to draw near to you. The world says fish and stockpile everything up here on this earth. Jesus says, invest in the eternal. He says, seek the kingdom first. Set your eyes on things that which are above. He says, fish for the souls of people, because those souls will last for all eternity. The world says all roads lead to happiness. Jesus says, don't fall for that trap. He says, take the narrow road. He says, follow him. And he says, just be responsive. One step at a time. And as we close today, what I really hope we see in this story of Simon and Jesus is that Simon's faith wasn't magnificent. Simon's faith wasn't extraordinary. It was reluctant at best, but it was the object of Simon's faith that was magnificent. It was the object of Simon's faith that was extraordinary. It was Jesus that we walk away from today seeing that a little faith in a big God leads to extraordinary things. That a little faith in a big God leads to extraordinary things. Because when we are in the hands of Jesus, it's so much better than being in our own hands. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from him, you and I can do nothing. Let's pray together today. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would take your word today and that you would weave it into our lives, that you would meet us right where we're at. And in doing so, we would apply it. We just wouldn't listen we just wouldn't hear, but we would be doers of your word. Lord, I pray today that Jesus, you would get into the boat of our lives and that we would allow you to lead, that we would trust, that we would obey, and at your word, we would just say, yes, Lord, even when the circumstances don't make sense, that we would invite you into our lives, allow you to direct things, knowing that it makes all the difference, that it calls us to a greater purpose, that it calls us to that which is eternal. And so, Lord, as we leave today, help us to be disciples. Help us to be followers of you for the rest of our lives. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. As we saw today, Simon was one of the first disciples called by Jesus. He would be fishers of men. And Jesus calls us to do the same. That's why he says, go into all the world and make disciples. In Luke 10 and verse 2, a verse in a chapter we're going to get to in a few weeks, it says this. It says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It says, therefore, pray. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Well, today we're about a third of the way through this series. And in the first third, we read together. We read through the Gospel of Luke together. And during this next third, we have a new challenge for you. During this next third of the series, we want to call you and ask you to pray. We want you to not just pray, but like set an alarm on your phone at 10:02. Set an alarm for 10:02 on your phone for every single day and for the next month. And when that alarm goes off at 10:02, we want you to pray for God to send more laborers. But not just for God to send more laborers. We want you to pray and say, God, use my life. Use me to reach people for your kingdom. So that's the challenge for the next part of this series. Let's pray, let's set that alarm, and let's do that at 10:02 every single day. I'm excited to see how God is going to work. I'm excited to see how God is going to use us together, and I'm excited to see how God is going to use each and every one of us personally. Thanks again for joining us today.